So what you want to do is talk into the microphone.
Right. That's what. That's usually how it works.
Yeah. That is. But
can you do a test actually?
Yeah. Test 1, 2, 3.
Hello. 1, 2, 3.
Is that quiet? You're gonna talk.
Huh?
Are you gonna bring the heat today?
Yeah, I'm gonna bring the fucking heat.
Oh, that's what. See, I want to see the. I want to see
you
the.
Level. See the red?
Yeah, I want to see the red on my screen over here. Matt, can you get me a little juice?
Here's the juice.
Oh yeah.
Coming to you live right now.
See, now we're cooking.
But what were you doing right before this?
I was working out.
Working out.
Well, no. So I went to work out, and then David and I went to go like tour a house, like a random house.
A house that he's interested in getting?
No. Just like a house that he wanted to see.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he still house shopping?
No, but like he still looks at houses. This house that we saw was $32 million.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, it was insane.
Did you see that house that I sent David the other day that was in Vernon
Chicago?
Hills?
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It's probably so much more bang for your buck in Vernon Hills.
Dude, it was a Frank Lloyd Wright house. Really?
He has a house in Vernon Hills?
20 minutes outside of Vernon Hills.
Damn.
And it was like for $2.3 million, and it was stunning.
You get so much more for your fucking buck there.
Even Sherman Oaks and Studio City compared to like Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
The same price in Beverly Hills, you get so much less, but it's all about zip code.
I keep saying we should all move to Texas though.
Yeah, Texas would be sick. Like Austin, if everybody made the decision, I feel like it'd be good.
I would love that.
You know I think I mean? David needs to take one really good trip to Austin and see what the West Side is like.
Right.
And then maybe he might change his mind. But also David loves show business. So LA is the place to be.
You also just moved here.
Yeah, I'm down to move again. Like I'll fucking hop states.
You're a nomad?
No big deal.
How's the rest of your day been?
It's good. I see you guys are drinking.
We have a White Claw.
We had a White Claw. We offered it to you.
Thank you. I don't drink, though, typically.
There's a lot of video evidence to the contrary.
Hold on. Okay.
We literally watched
it. I say this on every single fucking show I'm on, okay? I don't drink as much as people think I drink.
That was a question I wanted to ask you was do you think is like something that you're misunderstood about?
I misunderstood about the fact that like I love to drink and I'm always drunk. I never drink.
Yeah, you really don't. You're a pretty disciplined guy. I mean, you have discipline tattooed on your arm.
And
you
like,
drink when it's encouraged or if there's the right occasion.
Right. And like honestly, it's probably like a good 6 times a year. Like where I'm like actually fucking drinking and I have like the worst hangover in the morning. You know what I mean? Like six to like 10 times a year. But like aside from that, I just don't enjoy it.
We just happen to have them all on film. So it seems like it's a lot.
Exactly. Every time I do it, it's always on film because Dave knows it's going to be like a good time. You know.
So out of 365 days in a year, the 6 that you drink are the ones that we see.
Yes. And it's a fucking shit show.
And just to let the people know though, it's a Friday. Past 5 p.m.
Yeah, it's 5:17 on a Friday. I think a White Claw is earned and deserved.
Yeah, this would be problematic if it was like a Tuesday.
Right.
But it's Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. The tequila is poured, the mixers are ready, and we're going to start the podcast.
No, honestly, I just like, I don't like the taste of it. I swear to God, I can't like, even when I drink like a beer, I take like maybe 6 sips and I'm like, this is good. Like I can't do anymore.
I see. I don't even drink liquor at all. I'm not much of like a shots guy. And right. You'll never see me like crazy drunk usually.
No. Yeah. You're always pretty
steady.
Composed.
I get to the point where I need to be and then I'm just drinking water from there. Yeah. I don't like go over the limits.
Oh, you
like
can make
Zane
the switch
does.
To be like, I need to start drinking water now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Usually.
Oh, no. I like to not me, bro. I'm fucking 7 shots in, like literally like 30 minutes into drinking.
Do you have any other vices? But drinking obviously isn't a vice for you,
right.
But like, do you have any other like guilty, not, I would say pleasures, but things that you
vices, something that you
vices.
Shouldn't do, but maybe you indulge in to get through life.
No, honestly, no. I mean, there probably is, but I just can't think of it right now.
You're pretty good about your diet, though, too, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
Is there, like, a rule in your house, though? Because obviously, like, Taylor's always, like, cooking up stuff for David.
Right.
Do you have the liberty of also being like, hey, Taylor, can you, like, maybe make me, like, a little, like,
chicken
salad?
It's always really funny because, like, I don't know, like, the best way to ask, you know, because, like, obviously it's for David.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll be like, hey, you need help making this?
But
I do ask her.
You're just
for sure.
Really just adding spices.
And it's funny because, like, she knows that I'm not actually helping.
Uh-huh.
And she, like, gets why I'm doing it. So she just makes me the meal anyways.
Can you cook?
No, fuck no.
But you used to be kind of a cook though, right?
Was I? Where?
At our alma mater.
A rodent-based Italian restaurant.
Yeah. The rodent's the mascot.
What?
You worked at Chuck E. Cheese's.
Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. I was the... How did you know that?
We do our research.
I do my research, but I think we've talked about it before. But did you know that I used to also work there?
Did you?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yes, I did.
Wait, what did you do?
Well, I worked a variety of positions there. I worked the check-in stand. Right. I worked the game room, all the token jams and tickets. And then I worked the prize stand. I never got to work the cashier. I served the pizzas.
Right, right.
That was like my position. What was your role? At Chuck E. Cheese's.
Do you have a role?
Well, you're a cast member.
Right.
You're not like, that's like the label they tell you.
You're not,
like,
you're not an employee. You're a cast member.
Like if you go to a Rainforest Cafe, they say, I'm going to be your tour guide for the day.
Whoa.
Like they give you like a fun role. So it's like you're a cast member at Chuck E. Cheese's entertainment.
So what was your role in the cast?
I was the chef.
Oh.
It was the worst fucking thing I've ever done, ever, man. Like, I swear to God, I mean, like...
It's a lot of pain in that statement.
When I first got the job at Chuck E. Cheese's, I really thought that it was, like, a full-blown restaurant, that there was, like, an entire staff back there whipping up all the pizzas, but it's really just one teenager.
It's really just Ilya.
Yeah. Do you even, like... Yeah, you do flip the dough, right?
Yeah, so you actually make the dough in the back room, and then you fucking, you make it into like a circle, and then you put the sauce on, and then you put the cheese on. So it's like all from scratch, and people don't think that, but it really is.
And then you put it in the oven.
Yes.
But I'm surprised that, like the Chuck E. Cheese's in Chicago didn't have like a deep dish addition like onto the menu, because like that's what they're known for is their deep dish pizza.
Yeah, I haven't had Chicago deep dish, but... Why did you pick Chuck E. Cheese as the place to work?
I don't know. I don't remember why, but I was like probably 16 or 17 when I did that.
Yeah, I was like the same age. Yeah. I worked there for about 2 years.
I worked there for like a year, I think. What really like drove me over the edge is like I was having like a really shitty day. Like I was like being the cook or whatever. And like when you're the cook and you're the only one back there, it's a fucking shit show. Like it is a shit show.
Yeah.
Especially when they get busy, but... I was having like a really bad day. They told me to like go stand and check people in and out. And I was just standing there like all depressed and fucking, I hear this woman, and this is like probably the third time that something like this has happened. I hear a woman like get on the phone with somebody and she starts bawling. She starts crying. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And then all of a sudden she says, oh my God, he died. And then like, I was like, holy fuck, I need to get the fuck out of here. I was like.
An employee there?
No, or... like just a person that. Yeah, and apparently, like, her sister's son died in, like, a car accident or something like that. I was like, dude, this is not good. And, like, obviously it could have happened anywhere, but it's like, there's so many occurrences of that happening.
And this is Chuck E. Cheese's. It's supposed to be a happy place. Let's keep the party going.
Yeah.
And then you were working the checkout stand, and then you got, what, promoted to the kitchen?
No, so, like, kind of like you, I would do different roles sometimes.
Okay.
But my main role was the fucking cook. But whatever. Sometimes I did different roles.
You got paid more, though, if you were a cook. I'm pretty sure. I was getting paid, like, $12.50 an hour.
Good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, like, a little bit above, like, the minimum wage.
Right.
But that's a lot above minimum wage.
$12.50?
$7.25, I think, is minimum wage.
Oh.
That's a really good job.
I think it varies by state, doesn't it?
Oh, it might.
California's $15 an hour.
That's our minimum wage here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But were you ever Chucky?
Always, yeah. I mean, like, it was a rotation for us, right? So, like, sometimes I'd be fucking in the middle of cooking a pizza, like, ill, you're up.
That's what they told you? Or did they have... We had this little phrase about when you were assigned being Chucky, the manager would pull you aside and would say, hey, go wake up Chucky. And that meant that you were going to be Chucky.
That's almost, like fucking weird.
It's like a cult.
Yeah. It's like, no, they never said that. They never said that, no.
But I kind of liked when I was Chucky because it was almost a mini break in a way, because you had 10 minutes of prep, like another 10 minutes of showtime, and then you go back and you kind of have another mini break.
And taking you're in the costume, off. Too.
Yeah, the costume stunk.
Oh my God, yeah. Dude, there would be this fucking girl that had like the grossest hairspray on. Like that would go right before me, and I'd always fucking put the head on, and I'd be like, oh my God, kill me.
It was probably like flammable too. Well, our the head of Chucky that you put on had like these little mini fans inside of it. that would just recirculate all the sweat and humidity of the person that was in it before.
You guys got the wrong first jobs, man. You should have worked at Cold Stone or Target or one of these nice.
You worked at Cold Stone?
My first job ever was Cold Stone Creamery.
Don't you have to be able to sing at Cold Stone?
Yeah, but you don't have to have a good voice. You just need to be willing to sing.
So, and they sing when you get tipped, right?
Yes, if you get a tip, you have to sing one of their Cold Stone songs, which is where they take a classic.
All right, folks, you're listening here to the Cold Stone Hits, volumes 1 and 2.
No, they would take like nursery rhymes or like Cold Stone, here at Cold Stone, we're a scooper duper family.
I would pay money to see you do that, bro.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's a great marketing strategy.
What if like the creator Flintstones came in and was just like, hey, whoa. I needed to see the legal paperwork on this.
Well, I worked with one of my best friends who was a theater kid in high school, and he loved it. So, and he would say, oh, you don't want a tip, that's fine, I'll give you a song anyway. And he would just belt out one of the songs. He'd make up songs. So like for me, it was just like hanging out with one of my friends who was goofy and would just have a good time. So, and you get to eat ice cream like whenever you want. It was the best job ever.
Did you ever make up your own version of Cold Stone?
Yeah, I would do my
I'm Cold Stone with no one here beside me.
What is that?
Like I'm all alone. I'm Cold Stone, but you gotta have toppings.
Matt's got a good voice.
Yeah,
no,
Matt's got
I
good
really
everything.
Don't.
No, you do. You do.
Can you sing?
Fuck no.
Can you play an instrument?
I want to learn how to play the drums. Like really
you
bad.
I bet you would be a hell of a drum player. Yeah. Look at those forearms.
Yeah, I really want to learn.
Do you think you have a sense of rhythm?
No, I don't think so, but I think I can learn it.
If you get a drum set, I'll teach you. I've been playing drums since I was 5 years old.
You know how to fucking do everything, man. You're crazy.
Dude, Mike has played drums with the...
Yeah. Wait, you're actually chili. Good.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, I'll get a drum set.
Yeah, if you get it, that would be so sick if you get it. In the new house?
I want to get it, learn it, and then like kind of show up in David's room, like set up a drum set in David's room and play a song.
I can 100% teach you how to play the drums.
Fuck yeah.
What you should do, yeah, get your drum set, bring it here. Mike will teach you private lessons. And then one day you just go to David and just surprise him and just shred it out. Yeah, he's like, what the hell? Yeah, yeah. Or we go to a show and then the curtains open
and
up.
It's Ilya,
and it's just Ilya. Just like...
That would be funny if like fucking we set it up outside and David goes in the backyard and he's like, what the fuck is that noise every Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, we pull like Even Stevens and have like the band on his roof.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
I can play the guitar. I can play the piano. Like we can put on a Scott show.
Let's do it. I'm actually down. I'm totally serious about learning the drums.
I taught you how to skateboard, but we saw how that went.
Right, I broke my nose.
Yeah.
You guys have been skateboarding lately. Did you grow up skateboarding, or was this like a new thing? Did Mike encourage you to get into it?
No. I think we were just like skating one day with like the board that we have at our house, and I saw Mike doing a couple of tricks, and I was like, oh wow, that looks really cool. So I got a board, and then I broke my nose.
Every kid, though, I feel like goes through a skateboarding phase.
Right.
Did you go through a skateboarding
I went through a rollerblading phase because of the Disney Channel movie Brink. That was like the cool thing to do. But skateboarding was like tough. Like when you get into skateboarding, you are basically signing an agreement that you will really hurt yourself some point.
I think that's why I like kind of stopped doing it now, because it's just not worth it. I mean, it's cool to do, but it's just like not worth getting hurt. Like I fucking broke my nose. You know what I mean? Like it's not like it's pretty crazy. Like,
yeah, it's insane. But that's why I have so much respect to skateboarders, because it's just trial and error.
You have to fail 100 times before you even come close to succeeding once. Uh-huh. And then after you succeed once, you fail another 100 times. So it really teaches you a good life lesson about being persistent, trusting your body, and overcoming fear.
Yeah.
But it's addicting, like the rush you get once you finally nail that kickflip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's going to take you like 30 more times to finally land it again.
Meanwhile, Ella got on the board and within 10 minutes did the trick that Ilya broke his nose doing. Within 10 minutes of stepping on a board.
What was the trick you broke
your nose? It was a pop shove it. But she did it with training wheels on.
Oh, that is true.
Wait,
yeah.
Is a pop shove it where you do like an ollie but kind of like move?
The board spins underneath your feet. Like
180 degrees.
180 degrees. It doesn't flip. It spins.
Okay.
And it's not easy. Unfortunately, Ilya and I were going to skate on a Sunday, and he calls me on Saturday at noon. He's like, hey, bro, I don't think I'm going to be able to come. And then he's in the hospital with a broken nose.
Your nose looks fine, though, now.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just going to have a little scar on the top, which I don't mind.
Were you nervous, like, right when it happened? Like, oh, my gosh, it's broken. Because some people, like, get a broken nose, and it never really, like, fully heals. Like, an Owen Wilson, like, nose. Like, he broke his nose, and it just... Never
No, when I hit it with my board, I knew it was broken right away, because like I fell down and like I tried to like shift it and it's like Yeah.
That's the worst when like getting hit in the nose. Like, remember when you were a kid and like someone threw a basketball like right at your face and it just hit your nose and you immediately start crying? But it's like natural. Like, you're not really like crying from the pain. Yeah, there's something like sensory reaction that just happens and you just start shedding tears.
But Elias started rollerblading since that incident. Yes. Why don't you guys? You guys should go rollerblading.
I did rollerblade a lot. I did aggressive inline skating like when I was younger.
Yeah.
I love that shit. I got new blades.
Did you have like those really cool blades that like have almost like those kind of grinding rails around the base of the foot?
Exactly.
I always wanted those, but my parents were like, these are like $300, bro.
Yeah.
Chill. Ilya, you were born in Belarus.
Yes, sir.
Belarus?
Belarus, yeah, in Minsk.
In Minsk.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that?
You didn't know that?
I mean, I didn't know you were born in that town.
And your last name is... Fedorovich?
Close. Fedorovich.
Fedorovich?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, I don't think anybody gets it right ever.
I went on YouTube though and I searched how to pronounce
Fedorovich.
Fedorovich. And it told me Fedorovich.
Wait, was it
I think it was like a Belarusian man like going Fedorovich.
That's crazy how like there's more Fedoroviches in the world. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. That sounds like a killer tennis name, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Ilya Fedorovich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He sounds like he is winning
like
the Wimbledon Cup.
Nadal
like,
in the finals. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Do you play tennis?
No, I used to when I was little.
Did you play with David?
No. But yeah, he played like through high school. I stopped like after middle school. Yeah.
You're born in Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
When do you move here?
When I was 2.5, 3 years old, we moved to Chicago.
Okay. Now, what did mom and dad do? Or like when they had you, they were like, we got to get out of town. Let's go to America.
Yeah. I think what happened was like my grandparents and like basically all my close family members moved to Chicago, which made my parents move to Chicago. But when we got here, my dad started doing like delivery for Domino's. He was a fucking puppeteer. He did like crazy side jobs like that. And my mom,
he was a puppeteer.
Yeah,
like what, like a ventriloquist?
No, like a fucking like hand puppeteer, like for kids.
You know when you like take those tests in middle school that tell you what your future career would be? Yeah, an aptitude test. My top profession that I was going to be was a puppeteer.
Oh,
that's one of the options as a result of taking an aptitude test.
Yes, and I was pretty like embarrassed. Everyone was like saying, "Oh, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to be a lawyer," and I was like, "Mine says I'm going to be a puppeteer."
That probably like pinged the server of the guys who made that, and it's like we got our first ever puppeteer, guys. We got to go to Dallas and see what this kid's all about.
I think whenever they made this aptitude test, it was like back then when like puppeteering was like a hot line of business.
That was never when was puppeteering a hot line of business?
Well, clearly for his dad,
I guess. Yeah,
maybe. Was he like an Eastern European puppeteer who had like his own stand?
Yeah, he had his own stand. I think he did it for like European kids that spoke Russian.
Was it like a hand in the back of the puppet, yep, or like the
no,
the, like the not strings, marionette, not like the in sync,
right? The hand
marionette,
puppet. Yeah,
is what you're talking about.
Would he entertain you as a kid? I bet you had some really great good night bedtime stories.
I don't think he ever did.
No.
I don't think
he was like
did.
Ashamed of things. He's like, don't look in the closet. I don't want to do this and bring my line of work home.
Yeah.
Was mom working?
Yeah, mom was working at like, I don't know what the fuck they're called in English, but it's like where they sell like expensive coats. Like a coat shop, I guess.
Oh, like
you can
working
call it.
Just in apparel, I guess.
Right, right.
Yeah,
like a high fashion retail job.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like really hard for them to get jobs because both of their Englishes were really broken.
Yeah. How did they pick it up? Is it still like broken today?
It's broken today, but like not as bad as when they first got here. And they just picked it up by going to school and like learning. And I can't even imagine how fucking hard that is when you're like 35, 40 years old coming from a different country. And yeah, that's
with kids, and there's no crazy Rosetta Stone.
Can you imagine moving to Belarus right now and not speaking Belarusian and with kids and trying to...
It's insane.
Did you grow up speaking Belarusian or Russian?
It's Russian.
It's Russian. Yeah. I read about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you speak it? Are you...
Russian? Yeah. Fluent. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, really?
You know the whole alphabet?
I don't know the alphabet. And I don't know how to write, but I can speak and understand it clearly.
Wow. Has it ever been useful? Like you've gotten yourself onto some like tight situations?
Well, David's new neighbor is from Belarus.
Oh, that really cute couple?
The one that's under, not above, but under him. So like
the our next door neighbors?
No, the new house.
Oh,
yeah, God. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the new house. Okay, yes, cool. Yeah. And they did they like immediately like you? Like,
yeah, finally. Yeah. Immediate. It's like a really cool connection because there's not many Belarusian folks around. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, wow, this is sick. I fucking met somebody from my hometown.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know?
You like Gary Vaynerchuk?
I love him. Yeah.
Have you ever met him?
No, I'd love to meet him though.
Mike said, yeah,
he's I've met him a bunch of times. He's from Belarus too.
How'd you meet him?
I met him at South by Southwest originally. I read one of his books and like used to follow him back in like 2010, 2011. Met him at a South by Southwest event and then like kept running into him like once a year. And he always remembered me, always like said, what's up. When Snapchat first came out, he got Snapchat and would like Snapchat me back. He's one of the nicest dudes ever.
Yeah. I bet he'd love you.
Yeah. He's intense.
Yeah.
He's really intense.
You're an immigrant.
Yeah.
David's an immigrant. Mm-hmm. Is there like a big like Eastern European immigration population like in Chicago?
Yeah,
right? Because like Dima an immigrant as well?
Yep.
Wow. Did you guys like really bond over having that like connection? Like, hey, my parents aren't from here. They speak different languages at home.
You'd think that, but no, we didn't at all.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like really, I mean, I think that we understand each other's like lifestyles and decisions based on the fact that our heritage is obviously European, but and like when we were kids, it didn't really matter. Like we'd fucking all hang out with American kids.
Yeah,
you know? And like my parents would always be like, why don't you hang out with like with Dima or like with the Russian kids? I'd be like, I don't like them. Like, you know,
you just feel like you're an American. Your parents are the immigrants, but you're an American.
Yeah, I mean, we're all Americanized.
And did you enjoy your childhood in Chicago?
Yeah, I loved it.
Were you in Vernon Hills like from day one growing up?
I moved around so much, man. I literally moved around probably 10 times. Like I went to two different high schools. I went to three different middle schools.
Are you getting kicked out or your parents
moving around? Yeah, my parents just moved around.
The puppeteering gig kept changing locations every 6 months.
Yeah.
No, my dad, he had his business in Chicago. And like when the recession happened, he lost it. And so like it was just like from rental home to rental home to rental home. So we'd always move around. But
okay. And so I hate like framing the roots of your story on how you met David. It's obviously all about you. But when did you two end up linking up? Because obviously you wouldn't be here like with us if it wasn't for David.
It's actually like an interesting story. I went to an elementary school called Elementary North where he went as well.
Okay.
I went there from first grade to third grade. After third grade, they built a new school, a new elementary school right next to that one I went to, right? So you had an option. Either you stay or you go to the new one. So I chose to go to the new one. I chose to go to the new one fourth grade. He came fourth grade to the old one, right? So like I never
just
actually
missed each other.
Just missed each other. Right. And so then from there, I moved to Highland Park. And then from Highland Park, I moved back to Vernon Hills. So I ultimately ended up meeting David in like eighth grade. But it's funny because my friends that like I had first grade through third grade are his best friends.
Oh, so by the time you got there, you were like, oh, I'm just linking up with my old friends.
Right.
And they're like, we met this new kid, David. He got in right when you left.
It was really funny because like David would tell me that like John, our friend, would tell David about me. Like when I wasn't there, it was like super weird.
It was like destined to be.
Yeah. It's super
like if
weird.
You were around when Ilya was here, he's awesome. But you're pretty cool now.
Yeah. That's how we met.
And cool. you guys just met like hanging out
at the playground?
We'd bike around together.
So it was like seventh, eighth grade.
Yeah. We'd always have sleepovers and like sneak out in the middle of the night and like, we'd like always David and I would run from police like
we did that all the time because there was like a curfew in our suburb you couldn't be out past 10
as
and with
kid?
That we were like oh well we got to break this rule that was even more exciting
we would go
around and just get into crap
we'd always get in, especially like when 4th of July came around we'd buy like the biggest fireworks and like go crazy
so not much different than the way you live your life right now
yeah pretty much
and you said you had a go to another high school. So
I went to Vernon Hills High School my freshman year. And then again, my parents moved to Libertyville. So I went to Libertyville my sophomore year.
What an American name.
Libertyville. And then I went back to Vernon Hills High School my junior year. So junior, senior year, I stayed at Vernon Hills.
But were you already keeping in contact with your gang from Vernon Hills the entire time?
Yeah, sophomore year was like pretty much just all Vernon Hills friends.
Oh, great.
Yeah. but even though I went to that high school.
Okay, cool. Did you go to college?
For a semester. I don't really know if you count it as college. It's a community college. David and I both dropped out pretty much at the same time.
And then you got really popular on Vine, and
all kind of went from there. Now, when you were in high school, or even just growing up younger, what were your like career aspirations that you were like wanting to get into? Did you have just like, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a translator for the UN.
Like, no, honestly, I never had like a direct path. I was always like, I was always grabbing like any opportunity that came my way for business. Mm-hmm. Like in high school, for example, like I did like a snow plowing business. Before that, I did like a bicycle repair business. Anything that came to my head where I'm like, oh, cool, like there's a gap that I can fill, I would always jump on that.
A snow plowing business?
Yeah, it was hell. It was fucking hell. Wait,
could you even drive during that time?
No. So we had my fucking bright ass idea was we would plow the snow by hand. And so
like with shovels.
You guys don't even understand how fucked up that winter was. Like one of them, like it was like three nights of like 14 inch snow, and like we had probably 40-50 homes that we had to plow, and like each driveway took like 3 hours, and I didn't have enough guys, long story short, right? And like I kid you not, we plowed from like 3 p.m. to like 8 in the morning. I was sleeping in my car at 8 a.m. the next day, like I'm having my friends finish the driveways.
But aren't some people like, no, this needs to be done by 9 a.m. because I got to get to work.
Yeah.
And then how do you even get to your clients' houses on top of like,
right? I mean,
the snow.
Those are the mistakes that I made and I learned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy. It was so stressful because like these people really paid me money, you know what I mean? So like I had responsibility.
How old were you when you were doing the snowplow business?
17 or 18.
Wow. What was the name of it?
I don't remember, actually.
Ilya's going to plow you.
I actually don't remember.
And then you also now still have your own business.
Yep.
You're in plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Fly Plumbing.
Yep.
When did you get into that? Why plumbing?
Right after we dropped out of college, obviously Dave went to LA to pursue whatever he pursued, and I went into starting a plumbing company with my dad. So what he would do is he would do new construction.
I'm just thinking of like puppets and plumbing. Plumbing puppets. No, that was like
puppets
your dad's
and plumbing. The puppet. Mr. Fedorovich story.
Like the commercials for it are just like these like really incredible puppets showing you how to plumb. Or okay, so wait, go on.
Yeah, so he would do new construction, and when I joined, we basically like read that we would handle a new type of plumbing, which is service work, right? So like if your water heater breaks, we would go repair it versus like building the plumbing for a new home. So like it's two separate things. And I went into that when I was like 19, I think, or yeah, 19. We started with like one employee. I think we grew like to the maximum of like 36.
It seems like it's a big team. I was
36 employees.
Yeah, I was on the website today, and there was like a group picture, and I was like, whoa. Because when I first met you and I knew that you worked in the plumbing business, for a long time, I thought you were an actual like plumber, but then I didn't realize, oh no, he owns the plumbing company.
Any business that's an, like you were saying, like a necessity business is the best business to be in as a primary business. Like a fucking burger restaurant is not a primary business.
Right. Excuse you, my girlfriend's dad owns four burger restaurants.
Okay.
And they are very successful.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. I don't doubt it at all. But
I love that vlog of David's where you like didn't want to come to somewhere David was going and
Miami.
He flew in.
Miami, yeah.
Oh yeah, and he flew in, hired a private investigator to follow you, and the private investigator posed as a potential investor in your plumbing company.
A client. Yeah.
But you don't see the footage of that guy going in pitching you. Did you have any doubts with that private investigator the moment he walked in that this guy was full of shit, or was he really playing the part?
No, he was really playing the part, especially because I had a call earlier and he like wanted to set up the meeting. So I was like, yeah, come on into my office. Like, we'll meet.
Right.
So he comes in and he sits down. And it's funny, though, because if David was probably 30 seconds late to that conversation, it would have fucked him up because the guy, the private investigator acting as a client, he goes, yeah, like I have this big new construction job. And immediately I go, yeah, that's not what we do. Like,
I stopped him right there. Install a whole plumbing system in a new hotel. Like, yeah.
I stopped him right there. And like, I was about to like not kick him out, but be like, sorry, man. Like, I don't want to waste your time.
And then David came
and
in.
And then David came
second.
In like, right. Yeah, that second. Yeah.
Wow. David has pulled like the most extensive pranks to get you out here.
Yeah.
And now you're finally here.
Yeah,
it's, you should have heard the way he talked before you moved out here. How excited he was! Oh my god, you guys have no. I'm so excited. Don't tell Natalie. Don't tell Natalie. But Illy's moving out here. I can't fucking wait. It's gonna be the greatest thing ever. Every day is gonna be the best. Like it was like it's like your best friend is moving into your house with you. It's like ultimate sleepover.
And it's kind of great that now you're in town because I feel like we would always wait around
for Illy to come
because we knew it was going to be a really good weekend if Illy was in town.
Yeah, like, all right, it was always David's like a special event.
Yeah, David's gonna want to rage and have a good time or not just kicking around watching a movie or just nothing's going on.
It was always New Year's or Halloween or something else where Ilya shows up or we're going to Vegas for the day. And like anytime you would come, it's a weekend to remember.
So now that you've been out here in LA for, what was it?
4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed your time out here?
Yeah.
Or have you been missing the Windy City?
No, I love it out here. I actually was back in Chicago last weekend and I went into my shop and it's like my office and I was like, damn, this is really sad. Like I fucking work my ass off like 14 hours a day for 5 years straight pretty much. And like now I don't. You know what I mean? Now I'm doing something different in LA. But
oh, have you completely let go of your role in the company?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're done with it?
Pretty much.
Now, did David's whole online attention, did it bring any like business to Fly Plumbing?
No, because his demographic is not homeowners.
No kids are like, hey, mom, the toilet's clogged up. Let's call Fly Plumbing.
Yeah.
Hope you're enjoying this episode. We're just going to take a quick break to give a word from our sponsors.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And now back to the episode.
We don't even need a good segue here. Ilya, no. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed. Why?
Mike wanted to ask.
Yeah.
That was just like a...
It's like we're trying new questions here out of the box.
Are you left or right-handed?
Take a guess.
Well, I feel like if a right-handed person wouldn't even be interested if somebody was left or right-handed. So I bet you're left-handed.
I'm right-handed, but I'm still interested in people who are left-handed.
I feel like Mike's answer would be like, nah, I'm actually both.
Yeah, I'm ambidextrous. That would be a Mike answer. I do find left-handed people very interesting because I was friends with a left-handed kid growing up, and you realize that like the world is built for right-handed people. Like the desks that you used to have when you were a kid, they had a little armrest on the right side.
Oh, yeah. My mom's left-handed.
The English language is written from right to left. Like it's...
Oh, yeah. Every time we would go to a restaurant, my mom was like, I need the outside seat.
Yeah, you're bumping elbows with the person next to you.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Being left-handed is like, it's not a disability by any means, but it's just like an interesting way to view the world of like, you think that the world's just made for you or like you being 6'4". Or however tall you are, the world's not made for you. Like,
right.
Cars are a little small. Airplane seats are a little small.
I think Bill Gates was talking about this with Dax Shepard, and because both of them, I think, are left-handed. And they said, I think there's a statistic about people who are left-handed that if you're left-handed, you're twice as likely to go to jail, and you're also twice as likely to be a genius.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind just, of
you're on the edge of society
ways.
Either way.
Yeah.
But you're right-handed, Ilya?
I am, unfortunately.
Left, right-handed... You're good with both. My left hand's still healing up right now, but you've gone through a handful of injuries.
Yes.
In your life or since being friends with David?
I think in my life. I've broken my wrist. I've dislocated my shoulder literally like 7 times.
And it still dislocates occasionally. And you're like kind of trained now where you can pop it back in place.
Yeah. You see that video where I popped it back in place?
Yeah. I saw it like on David's Instagram story or something.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Was that your first time doing it yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. But luckily I was drunk on 4th of July and I was like, oh my God, it's out. And so obviously I was like, I don't want to go to the emergency room. I'm just going to fucking try it myself. So I took it and I fucking pulled it in and it popped back in.
But you knew exactly what to do, or did you like YouTube a video on how to do it yourself?
The doctors have done it so much and I've just paid close attention, so I just did it myself.
And the first time it happened, was it with David or did the shoulder?
No, it was like 5 years ago it happened the first time. I just was playing soccer and I landed on my elbow and it popped out.
Is it the same shoulder every time?
Yep. Every time.
So it's like a predisposition for it.
It's a bitch, bro.
Is it always like in the back of your mind?
Always.
Even when you know that you're getting kind of riled up, drinking, having a good time, you're like, tonight's not the night, though, that this shoulder's coming out of its socket.
And it's crazy because it can literally have, like, I was fucking, like, a month or two ago, I was just sleeping and stretching, and it was like 3 a.m., and I like, stretched over my head, and it popped out. And, like, I was like, what the fuck? And I had to go to the emergency room. It was crazy.
You had to go to the emergency room just from a stretch?
Yep.
Is there anything you can do to prevent it from popping out?
I can get surgery, but like there's negatives and there's positives of the surgery. And I feel like right now the negatives outweigh the positives.
Man, you're fragile like glass.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And like it limits me to do so fucking much. It's so crazy.
You know, once you're like debilitated, it's the worst. It's like a constant reminder. My like wrist, it's like now I'm off the brace, but only when I put pressure on it, that's where I'm like, oh, like I couldn't do a push-up right now.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know.
But I feel like I do want to work out though, like next week, I think.
Yeah, it's not bad being a perfect specimen.
Have you ever broken anything, Mike?
I broke my collarbone one time. It was the only bone I ever broke.
How did you break it?
On my boosted board.
Wait, when was this?
In Manhattan? Yeah, in Brooklyn. I was on
what street?
It was on the Brooklyn. It was on the Williamsburg Bridge.
Ooh,
there are gaps, notorious gaps. I talked to Casey about this. He's broken his collarbone like 7 times, and one of the times was on the same exact spot that I broke mine.
Wait, how do you break your collarbone?
So on the Williamsburg Bridge in Brooklyn, there are these little gaps of where they put the bridge together, and the gaps are like basically the exact same width as a skateboard wheel. So if you're not going fast enough and you don't shift your weight in the right way to sort of glide over it, the wheel just gets stuck.
Ooh,
and you're going so fast that when the wheel gets stuck, you keep going. And I basically hit the gap, skateboard stopped. I flew forward and tried to stop it by putting my hand in front of me, and the pressure just goes up from the bottom of your hand through to your collarbone, and then it just snaps. And it's the first bone I ever broke. I've never broken a bone in my life.
Oh, I didn't realize you
could
break
your
collarbone.
How is it today? Is there a bump? I had a friend growing up who had broke his collarbone, and you could see it still.
Yeah,
like
so
where.
It was, and I was on the way to my office when I had my website business, and we had a big client to do like a big e-commerce website, and I was rushing to get there, and I stand up and I couldn't lift my arm, and I was like, oh my, and my whole body was sweating.
Did you cry?
I was like, no, dude, no. I was like 25 years old. No. I was like, okay, I feel like I pulled a muscle. That's what I thought. I didn't realize I broke a bone. I thought I pulled a muscle. I was like, okay, let me just get to the office. So I get back on the skateboard.
Oh my God.
I was like 10%. Maybe like 30% on my way to the office. So I finished the ride to the office. I called my roommate and I was like, hey, and he works at Google. So I asked him if he could just like leave his office for the day and come help me, because Google's very chill. So he was like, yeah, I'll be right there. So he came, he went to like CVS, bought me a sling. I called Omri, my friend, it's a doctor, and like FaceTimed him. And I had a meeting in like 20 minutes. And I was like, I think I broke my collarbone. He's like, okay, do these tests. I tried to lift my arm. I tried this. I tried that. He's like, yeah, I can't tell over FaceTime, but you should definitely go to the emergency room after this. I go to the emergency room. They tell me that they did an x-ray and it's broken.
I broke my arm when I was about 4 years old. I rode a rocking horse down the staircase at my house. Like I had some friends over. I was feeling really cocky. It was around Christmas time and I broke my arm. But my mom has a story that the doctor like tried to like pop it around or move it around, and it was the most excruciating pain. I remember falling, but I don't remember the hospital. I remember the cast. I remember getting taken off.
I was thinking this the other day. Like, it's crazy how fragile humans are in general. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't take much to break your bone.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It makes me so sensitive. I feel like when I go out now, I'm always looking both ways and making sure that, like, I do not get injured.
Yeah. When you're a kid, you're made out of jello. Like, you can literally bounce off of concrete and be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, like, you just said, you're stretching your bed at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I need to go to the emergency room.
It's crazy, man.
So out of all of the injuries, what has been the worst? Has it been just the shoulder
pain?
It's
been my shoulder just because, like, it's all constant. The nose wasn't even really that bad because the nose was, like,
you broke it in the right spot. You healed. You got to the hospital fast enough.
And it really didn't hurt. Like, it's just,
it was just more the pain of not landing the pop shove at the
head. Yeah.
But you're an animal. You're like always working out. You're like, you're pretty like aggressive. You're like in touch with your body.
Very fit.
Thank you.
And you've gotten into a few fights before, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there was that one of David's vlog
where you got into a
Ilya
fight?
Had his crazy hair and he was sticking up for one of his friends because one of these guys was like mouthing off some racist stuff to your friend.
Yeah.
And he like stuck up to him and he got walloped in his eye.
You did?
I got sucker punched, yeah.
In Chicago or here?
In Chicago, in Vern Hills. It was like a gang member.
Should we call Jeff and go beat him up?
Yeah. It's too late for that. It was like 2 years ago, but yeah.
Were you prone to getting in fights when you were younger?
Yeah, sometimes. I really wasn't like that much of like a fighter. I don't know. I feel like people didn't really mess with me, not because I was like a tough guy. It's just because like I try to be friendly with everybody, you know?
Have you ever punched a wall?
Oh, my God.
You are See, that guy.
There's
yeah.
like there's certain guys yeah. who punch walls yeah. and there's other
You're
guys.
You're a wall puncher. Yeah.
I've never punched a wall in my life.
Me neither.
My friends in high school, many, many times.
Oh, in college, you always see a guy punch a wall. It's just that male rage.
But I've never done it in public. Like I've never done it in front of anybody. Like it's always been like
Oh, you don't like do it in front of a girl when you're like, oh, I can't believe it. Oh
No.
Do you think you could punch this wall? I'm not saying do it. But yeah. but I'm worried like this wall isn't your standard 90s.
You also don't
house
know where the
joint
we have a stud is. We have a stud finder right here so we can figure out exactly the point
hey,
where you
Zane,
should...
can we punch a hole in your
it's kind of funny yeah I think I'd be able to do it.
Speaking of girls, are you single?
I am very single.
Are the you... ladies love you, Ilya.
Do they?
Oh, every yes. girl I know asks if you're single and they're like Ilya's like kind of sexy. I don't know what it is.
Oh yeah, shout out to the vlog squad stans on Facebook. They're big fans of you.
Oh wow.
Shout yeah out. I've had more like multiple girls that I'm friends with that are not like vlog squad people that have asked if you're single and think that you're sexy.
Cool.
But you are single.
I thought you were gonna say you are sexy.
I mean you are, but
yeah, no, I'm single.
Are you in the market or are you just like enjoying your life right now?
Yeah, I'm both, I guess. Can I talk about what I did to you the other day?
Yeah.
What That's did you so do to Mike?
Matt, listen to this.
Oh, no.
So Mike, and like maybe three other people are in my room, like hanging out, talking, whatever. And Mike brings up this girl that he met. And like he's asking like the ladies in the room, like.
As he does.
Yeah, yeah. He's asking the ladies in the room, like, should I text her? Like, should I wait? Whatever. So I'm like, Mike, let me see a picture of her on Instagram. And
I was very
Mike's like very, very. Very hesitant, very hesitant. And I'm like, no, come on, just let me see. And so I really did only want to see it first, right?
Right.
So I'm looking at her and I'm like, yeah, I guess it's worth a follow. And so I follow her.
And he only follows Zane on Instagram and that's it. So he followed Zane and
oh,
then this girl.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And he, I'm like, Mike, I followed her. And he flips out.
I mean, dude. She's like a regular person with like 1,000 followers.
All the fan groups are just like, who is she? Who is she? Who is she?
Exactly. It's Zane Hijazi and then this girl. I'm like, a Tuesday night. And he wouldn't unfollow her for like a full minute.
Wait, why do you only follow Zane?
Because I originally only followed Dima. Like when I started my Instagram account, the joke was that like Dima doesn't really like me, so I only follow him, but he didn't follow me back, and like I kept that joke until
that's a good joke.
Until Zane goes, fuck that guy, like follow me, and I was like,
of course,
really,
Zane.
And so I did, and now I just follow Zane, but
and now Ilya owes me a follow because he yeah, are you still in my life?
Are you still following the girl?
No, he unfollowed her like a minute later.
And then, and then Mike goes, dude, did you do that to make me mad? And I was like, no, Mike, I did it to make you happy. What do you mean?
How many kids do you want to have?
Ideally two, boy and a girl, but I'm down for more. Like if I have seven kids, like fuck it.
I always say that if I have like a lot of money, I'm down to like have tons.
And like, you know why I want a lot of kids? Because I am an only child and like my childhood as an only child sucked. Because like anywhere I'd go, like I'd never have like a buddy to hang out with or like a sister to like bully me, as stupid as that sounds. But like I never had that connection.
Yeah, it kind of keeps you like stimulated. You have like a good reference point of somebody who you're constantly bouncing.
You get to share being a child with.
Yeah, exactly. So I never had that and I don't want my fucking kids to go through that shit. So I want like 2-3 kids.
Wow, that's a good plan.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you were another person in a past lifetime?
No.
No?
I've never thought of that, no. I mean, I've thought of it, but I've never been, like, precise about it and been like, I was probably this person. No,
yeah. What do you think happens when you die?
I think that you turn into somebody else, like reincarnation.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But who fucking knows?
Nobody knows, but I'm wondering, do you have any thoughts?
No, but I'm dying to know.
Is it...
I'm literally dying to know.
Wait,
it's something that you think about?
All the time. I mean, like, it's actually kind of sickening how much I think about it.
About death, yeah.
And, like, it's crazy that we don't talk about it more. That, like, we're all gonna fucking die. You know what I mean?
I think I bring it up kind of often, but, like, in an optimistic way, where it's like, let's just enjoy ourselves because we are all going to die. I think a lot of times people get really consumed, like, in their just day-to-day grind, like, thinking, like, oh, this is the end, this is the end, this is the end. Like, dude, we're going to die. Let's just enjoy the time
we have.
That's
Steve Jobs. He said it was the greatest motivator he ever had was knowing that one day he's going to die.
Yeah. Right? But death doesn't really scare me, but sometimes I feel like I'm so content with the life I've lived where I'm like, if I die,
you die.
I die, but I'm just so happy with the life I lived. I feel like it's a rough position to be in where you're like, you're not happy with the time you've had, and also you're knowing that you're going to die.
But I like the thought of like, do you remember what it was like before you were born?
Wait, just asking that question?
Yeah, do you guys remember before you were born?
No.
Like, you don't have any thoughts or fears or anything?
No.
Right. So that's what it's going to be like when you die. Just like you weren't here before and you're not going to be here after, it doesn't matter. You're here now and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
You don't know where you were before you were born. You can't articulate it.
And maybe this is heaven on earth, you know?
Yeah. It is probably wild when you do die and like you get explained what happened. You're like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? But and whoever's up there goes, yeah, but you're going back tomorrow.
Like, there is a great video on YouTube called The Egg. I don't know. Were you there when we watched it?
I have seen it. Yeah.
There's a
YouTube channel. It's like a cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically there's a poem or a story called The Egg. It's by this YouTube channel called Kurzgesagt, I think it is. Have you seen
his
channel?
Yes.
It's a really good
video.
He's
the guy who does the stimulation theory video.
Yeah, he
makes incredible.
The British guys.
So whoever the animator is on that show does a stellar job.
I think it's a whole
job.
Team.
Yeah.
But The Egg is a great video about what it means to be alive and to die. And I it's a great experience to understand of like, okay, this makes me feel okay with everything. So are you happy that you moved to LA? Do you feel like it was the right decision?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll be happier when it's fucking cold as shit in Chicago and it's still warm here.
Oh, so that's when you're happy. It's like getting away from the cold.
Yeah.
But I always like the cold. No, I'm jealous you guys had snow days and stuff growing up.
No, it's
fucking
miserable. It's miserable.
You're a big video game player, right?
I mean, I play video games. I'm not like a big...
But you and David are over at that house gaming a lot. What game are you guys playing?
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, the latest one?
Yeah, the Modern Warfare.
Are you pretty good?
No, I'm terrible. But it's like really fun to play.
Who's better, David or you?
David's better for sure.
Is he the best in your crew?
No, our friend Mike is probably the best. But David used to be really, really good.
Do you have like a name for your squad?
No, we don't. But we should name our squad something.
How do you say go to hell in Russian?
You actually don't say go to hell in Russian. That's
what
not
do you
a
say?
Saying.
Go to Russia?
No, you just like... You say, like, go fuck yourself, and it's пошёл нахуй.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Say it a little slower.
Пошёл нахуй.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the curse word or curse phrase in Russian that doesn't exactly translate into American?
Yeah, it's like, ебать его в рот. It's like, fuck him in the mouth.
Oh, my God.
But it's like saying fuck. It's like, ah, oh, fuck. It's like, ah, oh, fuck him in the mouth. Like, it's weird. Yeah.
Ilya, now that you're here in LA, what has been your favorite part about being here?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question to answer because we've been in quarantine and it's just been so fucking like lagged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just being around my friends, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best part, I feel like. Being around my best friends and discussing the opportunities that we have in the future. That's really it.
It's a great vibe. It's a great feeling. It's a great energy to be around.
I always think about what Chris Rock said on his episode of Comedians in Cars with Jerry Seinfeld. And he has this theory about life, which is a gourmet meal with an asshole is a shitty meal. But if you're going to get a hot dog at a hot dog stand in the middle of winter and you both have your jackets on and it's freezing, but you get a hot dog at the hot dog stand with a great person, that's an amazing meal. And I feel like what we have here is we have gourmet meals with amazing people.
Mm.
We are blessed.
It's a great way to put it.
And we're glad that you're here, Ilya, because you're one of those people that we always love having around
and
we
loved having you on, and we loved having you on here.
Thank you.
Did you have a good time?
I did. This was actually really great.
Was it better than what you expected?
No, I thought that you guys are like really good, like co-hosts with each other. You guys have a good dynamic, so I felt like it was going to be like this.
Oh, thank you. Did you have a...
A what? A hoot and a half?
The mic just pointed to a sign we just got made.
Yeah, I had a hoot and a half. All right. Had a great time.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for coming on here, Ilya.
Thanks, Ilya.
Love you, buddy.
Love you guys.
Follow him on Instagram.
At Ilya Fetty.
And he's only following one person now.
Yes. But you may be the second.
Ooh, baby. Maybe. All right. Love you, buddy.
Bye, guys.